All right, good evening, everyone. It is April the 10th, or March the 10th. The time is 7 o'clock, and this is the regular meeting of the Board of Directors of the Kensington Fire Protection District. Sasha, could you please call the roll?
You got it. Director Dahmer? Director Kosel?
Yes.
Director Stein?
Yes.
Vice President Pedian?
Here.
President Nagel?
And I am here.
You have a quorum.
And for the record, I would note that we're joined by our General Manager, Bill Hansel, by our Clerk of the Board, Sasha Amirinier, and by our Fire Chief, Michael Pagoni. With that,
Sasha, do you want to follow the item?
The comment?
Yeah.
So this is a place on the agenda for comments and inquiries from citizens and board members concerning matters that do not otherwise appear on the agenda. And I'm having a hard time seeing the.
I've got the list
here. So.
We have 11 attendees. I don't currently see any hands raised.
Are there any public comment? Are there any comments or questions from the board? Any board members? And does anyone see Don Domer in the audience?
You said he was.
I do see Shelley. Let me try. 1 second.
Oh, here we go.
Shelley, your mic is muted. I don't know if that's Don or Shelley.
I asked to unmute.
Beautiful.
In the meantime, Mabry has her hand raised.
Okay, good. Mabry, you're on.
Mabry, you're muted, but you can unmute yourself.
I'm sorry. I still don't see Don, and I didn't hear his comment that he was present when roll call was taken.
We don't think he is present, although he was having trouble earlier today and was trying to use Shelley's address.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to confirm
he's not on mine. So right. There's your
thank you, neighbor.
One vote for that. Bye.
Okay. Thanks for the information.
Okay. Is there any comments or inquiries from board members? All right, then we'll move right on into item 3, adoption of the consent items. Okay, there's 5 consent items. A is approval of the minutes of the February 10th, 2021 meeting. B is acceptance of the incident activity report for February. C is approval of monthly transmittal for February. D is approval of monthly financial reports for February. And E is approval of a budget amendment to purchase replacement mattresses for Station 65. These are normally adopted in one motion, unless any board members want to pull any of the consent items for discussion.
I'd like to pull item 3A, the minutes.
The minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any others? Then I will adopt I will entertain a motion to adopt consent items B, C, D, and E.
I'll second.
Somebody needs to make the motion.
Oh, I thought Janice did.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you, Janice. Okay, it's moved by Gozell and seconded by Padian. Is there any discussion on the motion? Then Sasha, could you call the roll, please?
Director Domer? Director Kosel?
Aye.
Director Stein?
Aye.
Vice President Padian?
Yes.
President Nagel?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, then we will, Julie, it's all yours, minutes for February 10th, 2020.
I'll just note that, Julie, if it's okay, I'll just note that the this is the revised minutes, correct? They were set out.
Yeah.
That's what I looked at right before the meeting.
Great. Thanks.
I'm looking at my printed copy, but the same matters that I wanted to bring to your attention also seem to appear in the revised minutes. So the date and time of the meeting is showing in the minutes as being February 20th, and it was actually February 10th. So I double checked that even the revised minutes that are posted on the website, unless I'm missing something, say that the meeting date was February 20th. So if you could just change the meeting date to February 10th.
Thanks.
And, I didn't have time to look. There's quite a few misspellings of people's names and our attorney, our law firms, Myers-Navé. So maybe just a once over for spelling, particularly of residents. But that was all I had. But I think the date, it's important that the
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. We did, I thought we caught the residents, but we'll check again. Thank you for that though.
I move the adoption of the minutes is so.
A second.
Did your motion include with the correction to the date?
Yes, as so revised was my motion.
Oh, I didn't hear the trailing end of what you said.
Okay, it's been moved by Cosell and seconded by Padian to accept the minutes for the September 10th, the March 10th, February 10th meeting as corrected. See no further comments. Sasha, could you call the roll, please?
Director Domer? Absent. Director Kosel?
Aye.
Director Stein?
Aye.
Vice President Padian?
Aye.
President Nagel?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Great. Okay. That moves us into new business. The first item of new business is the Emergency Preparedness Coordinator. Bill, you want to kick that off?
Sure, thank you. The recommended actions are listed at the top of this memo. To recap them, this is to refine an issue or request for proposals for an emergency preparedness coordinator from appropriately experienced and credentialed individuals as previously outlined in the Emergency Preparedness Committee's pilot program draft qualifications and duties below. Two, to interview potential candidates to assess and determine the most suitable candidate. Three, to develop a contract with the district's legal counsel. And four, to hire the consultant on a limited contract basis with a not to exceed total amount of $100,000 a year. And this would also include in that action, a motion to approve a budget amendment to provide for the expenditure of funds for this contract with a prorated amount of $17,000 for the remainder of this fiscal year and plan to include $100,000 a year for the funding of 2021-2022, the next budget that'll start in July. Without repeating all of the information here, we've had extensive conversations and recommendations by the board. In the last board meeting, it was recommended that the committee and the manager look at and talk to Chief Pagoni about options for having El Cerrito provide a staffing to fulfill this need. And then additionally, to look into comps in other surrounding areas for the position to get a sense of those duties, those roles, and what the payment salaries might be of those officials. We had in the Emergency Preparedness Committee meeting of February 25th an extensive discussion of all of that information. Chief Pagoni had provided a very quick outline of what staffing might be for that position if it were a position within El Cerrito. And then we did look at some comparable positions that I included in this report. And the opinion, it seemed, of the committee, the feedback, we also had public feedback during that meeting, was that the El Cerrito option, which also included a bunch of additional services, frankly, beyond what the EPC had originally, you know, presented, interesting options for us, the feeling was that the price tag for that would be too high. It was hard to come up with complete equivalencies in terms of the comps. You can see a range of different types of, you know, positions. It did seem as if the $100,000, basically $50 an hour type of, you know, range for that work could be accomplished relative to some of that information we were getting. And my recommendation, so the recommendation that I'm putting forth is for the district to move forward with its own contract for this, but rather than it being a staffing position, that we contract with a consultant to do this work, which is an individual essentially. So I would be taking the work that the committee had done, it's outlined here, the qualifications, and advertising for that position on a contract basis. I think it would, you know, allow us to not necessarily be committed to a long-term sort of staffing, you know, position. It also could, I think, make good progress in the first 6 months to a year. We could evaluate how that relationship is working and what the deliverables are looking like relative to satisfying what the board has and the committee have said would be increasing the safety for the residents of Kensington. So that's my recommendation about how to proceed with this.
Okay, any questions from board members?
I have a comment, and I'm looking at page 33 of our-
Janice, can you speak up a little bit? You're very muted.
Okay, just kind of quiet.
Barely.
And not much better. Is there a volume on your set you can increase possibly?
Yeah, hang on.
Sorry.
I think I go to I know where that is. Hang on one sec. Why don't you let somebody else speak while I try to increase my volume, Larry.
Okay. Are there any other comments from board members? Kevin, you look like you're commenting, but you're muted.
You're muted, Kevin.
It keeps swishing on me. I do want to support Bill's recommendation, and I really want to thank the chief for so quickly and thoroughly getting back to us and for having a detailed discussion with us. I think he laid out very clearly what that position would have to look like if it were under his aegis. And it's also clear that we could not do it through the regular city of El Cerrito without a great deal of difficulty. And I'm very thankful that he responded to us so quickly and forthrightly.
Okay, great. Janice, are you ready?
Almost to the right spot, Larry. Hang on 1 minute.
Sounds better already.
Yeah, I'm putting myself up. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I'm on
full. Yes.
All right. Okay. I just wanted to point out on page 33 of Chief Pagoni's report, in item 10, he proposes that his individual would prepare budgets and related documents for federal, state, and city funds and oversee the expenditure of those funds. So essentially what Chief Pagoni was proposing is to combine the emergency preparedness coordinator and the writer, which puts his proposal closer to the ballpark and basically echoes Linnea Duke's suggestion that maybe we combine the two. I view that as maybe a future proposal because I'm not inclined to continue funding this individual for longer than a year and less than until I see dramatic result. But I would suggest that we might want to consider combining the positions in the future.
Combining the position of the
emergency writer and emergency preparedness coordinator.
Okay.
It would be nice to, and this would give us that option to, you know, to consider that as we see how this develops.
Yeah.
This and the grant writer develop.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, Bill, are you looking for a, there's four actions that you mentioned. So that would be four different motions. Are you just looking?
No, it could be one motion. This really is, could be just one motion to approve the recommendations to create and hire for this position and including the budget amendment, or you could just say as stated in the recommendation. I think that'd be fine.
I would like to move to accept Bill's recommendations, all four of them as stated.
Great. Okay.
Aren't we going to do them one at a time, A, B, C?
I wouldn't recommend that because the normal process, given the fact that this would be just a contract that I would be executing on behalf of the district, is similar to any other kind of contract where the board would basically give the overall approval and sanction the budget change and then let management execute it.
Oh, all right. Oh, he's talking about 1 through 4 in your proposal.
That's right. 1 through 4. And to be clear, Director Padian, it's 1 through 4 plus the budget amendment.
Yeah,
no, actually a fifth one.
No, that's okay. I thought he was moving the enactment of all of item 4 on the agenda.
No,
so as
no,
long
no,
as
no we're just talking about the
emergency preparedness coordinator, I'm okay with that.
Bill, can I ask you a clarifying question?
We need a second, first of all.
Sorry. Okay.
Do we have a second on that motion?
I will second the motion.
Okay. Motion by Padian, seconded by Cosell. Okay, Julie, thank you.
Oh, this is just a clarifying question because I was looking at Janice's comment and in Chief Pagoni's, page 31, Chief Pagoni's email, describing a position that would cost, I think, approximately $210,000 a year. He indicates that this would be, they would consider providing a sworn position. So is the next page 32 and 33, is that actually the job description from Chief Pagoni as Janice referenced? Because this job description on page 32 and 33 says it's a non-sworn position.
Yeah, sorry. So the top of that page 32 and all the subsequent pages are examples of emergency services coordinator job descriptions from other agencies.
Oh.
So no. Yeah.
That's what I thought. So this one, 32 and 33, is not coming from El Cerrito. This is a comparable that you found somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yes, Chief Pagoni's email ends at the bottom of page 31.
Then the job description is on page 32 and 33?
No, you know, there was a bunch of them that the committee members came in, Janice. I'm not sure they're all labeled as clearly as they might be.
Yeah, I'm not. Yes, I agree.
That may have been Berkeley. I'm just guessing.
Sounds familiar.
I'm not
sorry, Chief.
And I was just going to say, page 31, it lists SEIU 1021. I'm sure it's more than one city. I do know that San Francisco SEIU is local 1021. It may be Berkeley also. I don't know.
But the example on page 32 and 33, the annual salary goes up to almost $113,000, which is substantially lower than what was not really proposed by El Cerrito, but what was set forth in Chief Pagoni's memo.
Chief, you're welcome to expand on your proposal. I didn't mean to gloss over it too quickly.
Oh, no, that's perfectly fine. Understand the numbers that I was providing includes benefits. What you're reading there in SEIU is basically just salary. It's not benefits, pension, healthcare, taxes and stuff. So, which is something, Bill's recommendation, of course, is to go with an outside contractor, in which case you will not be paying benefits. So it'll just be straight salary. If you're looking at, like I said, at the SEIU or those examples on the following pages, that is just strictly base salary, which is going to be in the $45, $50 range per hour if you're looking at a full-time position.
I can confirm, thank you, that now I've got word, that on 32 to 34, that is Berkeley.
That is Berkeley, okay.
We do have some hands raised.
Okay, I just want to make sure that we got all the comments and questions from board members before we go to the audience. Otherwise, I guess we can go to the audience. And the first person on my list is Mabry. Yeah.
Mabry, there you go.
Okay. I just want to, I don't think that this motion fully covered everything. All I saw was that there was $100,000 and it really implied to me that was salary. Well, that's not a full budget for this position or whoever is working there, because there's the other question of, it sounds like benefits aren't part of it. But certainly there's going to be expenses involved with implementing with this person, A, doing their work, and B, implementing it, like whether it's handouts, refrigerator magnets, all sorts of things. I don't think that this motion or proposal even covers a full budget for what the position really needs. And I think that's a grave shortcoming in what's being proposed. And I'm going to say that's the same thing for the next budget item too. You merely talk about salary. Well, and frankly, $100,000 a year seems an awful lot for that sort of a job. Maybe it's my old age, but just seems excessive. I think that's my comment.
I think it's up to 100,000, Mabry, because I'm with you. That's what our general manager gets. Yeah.
Well, it just seems like an awful lot for, I'm going to say, a staff position that's not managing a whole lot. But I think it's really far more important is there's a lack of a full budget given for this whole proposed project.
If I can, if you'd like, I can answer a little bit of that.
Sure, go ahead, Don.
Well, just to be clear, it's not a staff position. This would be a contract. That was the change that I recommended here. That's different than what was previously talked about and recommended by the committee. The committee had recommended a Kensington staff position of 40 hours a week. What I'm recommending is that this, and it's in the motion here, is to hire it that position as a consultant. So it's just and frankly, it would be, I'd have to see the proposals, but it would be based upon, in my mind, an hourly rate. And I think that the $50 an hour for the range of what this type of position would involve, if I, you know, refer to the activities, is not unreasonable. There are, to answer your other comment, which I appreciate about the, you know, the other costs, there are other budget categories to provide for some of the things that you're talking about. We have a separate line item for communications, and I would imagine that especially if we could get this going prior to the end of this fiscal year, it would mean that there some of the discussion for the next fiscal year would be what those categories like communications, public. I'm sorry, I'm not looking at the budget right now, but I know, for example, the magnets are coming out of a communications line item. So then we could also get the input for what the recommendations for that budget starting in July, you know, would be. So.
Okay, then the next speaker from the public is Catherine Denier-Garth.
Hi, yes, I'm Catherine Denier-Garth. And this idea in general seems really terrific, really needed. I'm really happy that the Emergency Preparedness Committee brought this forward as a proposal and have a couple of questions about it. One is, to what extent would this person be working with or under the direction of the Emergency Preparedness Committee? Because I know when you have a consultant, they can easily be like kind of like tossed into the void and left to fend for themselves. They don't have the support, you know, and plugging into the knowledge. And I would hope that they'd be somehow really plugged into the Emergency Preparedness Committee and receiving direction from the Emergency Preparedness Committee. That's one question.
The sort of accountability would be directly to me, and then the coordination with communication with the Emergency Preparedness Committee would be with me alongside me in EPC committee meetings. But we have to have sort of proper management accountability for the contract. So sort of direct oversight would be from the GM. And I should add, because this was correctly pointed, I'm sorry, Catherine, it was correctly pointed out as a concern of the chiefs about communications from this position and making sure that there's no sort of crosstalk or different direction that'd be counter to the chief's personnel and the chief's direction, that we would need to, that again, having that that communication through the general manager means that I can coordinate to make sure that that doesn't happen by coordinating with the chief.
But your overarching, the person being accountable doesn't preclude the person being grounded in the Emergency Preparedness Committee and receiving support and feedback.
Absolutely. No, it doesn't preclude that at all. And I think the work of the EPC has been fantastic, and I think this would just make it actionable.
Okay, great. Second question. So how is it envisioned, because it's for all of Kensington, it would include working with emergency preparedness with the police department, is that correct? That would be integral to, it's not like the police are going to have one set of plans and the fire department is going to have another. but they were in some sense be working with and for both departments.
On page 29, I'm sorry.
That was
what part of thank you. Yeah, part of the recommendation, and it's outlined here in this draft qualifications for the request for proposals. On number two, it says coordination with local and regional agencies, and so a good part of the work would be coordinating again with managers' oversight, with the police and the county and other agencies.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Catherine. I see no other hands raised, so I think we can vote. Oh, I'm sorry, Julie.
You're muted, Julie.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I just had a follow-up comment, just maybe in response to Mabry Benson's comment, but the way I understand this is, there may have been different options to, cast this as an open position, open contract position, but you're proposing to cast it as a request for proposals. So I assume that whoever reads the request for proposals is going to see that there's essentially a cap on funding of about $100,000 a year, but typically a proposal includes a budget. So I assume that they will provide, the cost of their own manpower along with any other supplies and operating expenses that they would charge to stay within the budget. Because that's typically what you'd get back as a proposal as compared to just launching a job description. And so then you would judge the various proposals based on the merit of the proposal and how well they conform with the budget. And it's kind of a multifaceted thing as opposed to just someone seeing a job opening and applying for the job. That's how I'm interpreting this. Is that your intention?
Yes, yes.
May I also ask you, Bill, how do you plan to disseminate the RFP? How do you plan to get it out there so people know about it?
Well, there's typical ways to do it through online postings, the CSDA. We can research it being as broad as we want to, but I mean, I think given conditions of things right now, it would be CSDA posting, other local job postings. I think there's already, as I understand it, there's already some interest, in the community promulgated by the EPC members themselves to other people.
Okay, I think we're ready to call the vote. We have a motion made by Director Padian and seconded by Director Cosell.
We have promoted, I'm sorry, President Nagel, I have two instances of Don. He's muted and there's no picture, but I don't, he may Don, have joined the meeting.
Are you there, Don?
Sasha, can you unmute Don and or Don?
I asked both Dons to.
Oh, yeah, we now have two.
There you
two
go, going. Don.
Yeah. There we go. Okay, Matt, you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
We had this strange experience. Let me just get rid.
Experience of being hacked
by a company that was trying to that has the same services as Zoom, and they kept crashing.
No.
So I'm sorry, but it took us a while to get out of there. So I can vote, right?
Okay, absolutely.
I've been able to hear it.
Oh, you've been able to hear what we've been doing. We just haven't been able to hear you.
That's right. And I finally sent Bill a message.
Okay. In that case, we will welcome Don on board as of 7:35 p.m. And we'll have Sasha call the roll.
Director Dahmer.
Here.
Is this a yes for the vote or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just making sure. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Yes, it is. I did listen to the discussion.
Okay. Director Kosel.
Aye.
Director Stein.
Yes.
Vice President Padian.
Yes.
President Nagel.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Great. Thank you, Kosel. The next item of new business is the item 4B. Bill, you want to take that away?
Sure. This is a recommendation to refine and issue request for proposals for a grant writer from appropriately experienced and credentialed individuals. It's previously outlined in the Emergency Preparedness Committee's draft qualifications and duties, which are included in the memo, to interview potential candidates to assess and determine the most suitable choice, develop a contract, and to hire the consultant on a limited contract basis with a not to exceed amount of $50,000 a year. And this is also to affirm the expenditure for this year, for the remaining part of this year, of $8,500 out of the currently budgeted $15,000. There's already a line item of $15,000 in the existing budget that has not been used. And to plan to include for in next year's budget, $50,000 a year to continue that funding. And in the same vein as what we just approved, this was a proposal suggestion developed by the priorities list, which the board had previously had been presented at the February 10th meeting and accepted as a list of priorities. There were previous, I should note that, you know, prior to Mike coming on board, I am aware that there was previously $50,000. And I think at one point it was discussed as $60,000 as a budget line item. I think it possibly may have even been in the initial budget and then and then take it out. I'm not sure of that exact history, but I think that the amount for consulting services again would be appropriate. It's something that we would obviously be able to coordinate with the emergency preparedness coordinator's position and the EPC committee and obviously too as the public safety building plans eventually hopefully develop and solidify, that would support investigations into funding for that too. But it's also, we would expect to have the return coming out of this work to justify the expense of the position, so.
Okay, so I'm going to entertain a motion very similar to the previous one that approved the proposal to have the general manager perform these four steps.
I so move.
Okay.
Second.
Great. Motion made by Adrian and seconded by Doma. Are there any questions or comments from the board?
We have a hand up.
Not from the board. Yeah, okay, there is one. I wanna make sure that there's no questions from the any board members at this point. In that case, I guess we'll go, and it looks like, again, Catherine Denergard.
Yes, hi. I sure hope we can get a good person. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, with fundraisers and grant writers. I just want to share the concern of saving enough money for whatever is going to be done to the public safety building, or if it's going to be rebuilt someplace else. And it's more of a concern or worry with the police department, who has, you know, so much less funding that you can take too many expenses and then there's nothing left for housing the police department. Similarly, here, I hope we'll be saving money as much as possible to make a wonderful new public safety building or rebuild the current one. So I guess it's a, you know, it seems like a great proposal, and I'm just saying, and I hope we can afford it.
Thank you, Catherine. Okay, I see no other public comments. So I guess we're ready to vote on this. The motion was made by Director Padian and seconded by Director Domer. Sasha, will you call the roll, please?
Director Domer.
Yes.
Director Kosel. Director Kosel?
Aye.
Sorry. Director Stein.
Yes.
Vice President Padian.
Yes.
President Nagel.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, and the last piece of new business is the long-term financial advisor. So that would be item 4C.
Right. This was in the meeting packet for February 10th, but it was postponed until this meeting. In reviewing the recommendations by the Emergency Preparedness Committee, I'll read this for those in the audience who don't have the packet. Management agrees in principle to the recommendation, but for a long-term financial advisor, but prefers to hold consideration by the board until further determinations are made on the public safety building project and the proposed emergency preparedness coordinator and or grant writer contracts are engaged. Additionally, coordination of long-term financial advice with a strategic plan exercise would be helpful, and depending upon staff resources and time, should be planned for fall 2021, sooner rather than later. But so I included all of this because it was postponed. I repeated the presentation material from the February 10th packet, but my personal recommendation is that we hold on this, not for lack of importance, but just for wanting to get the other two positions up and running to start to get into the budget, and also to see where the public safety building direction goes by the board. So there's no action recommended here. This is this is the proposal that I'm suggesting.
Okay. Any comments or questions from the board members?
I'm actually fine with the motion to postpone. We have a lot on our plate, but I just want to make it clear, when Bill says fall of 2021, he means that's when we're coordinating with long-term other actions, but I think that we should revisit this and try to get somebody on board as soon as possible. But I'm fine to postpone it from this meeting because there's just a lot of other things to do. Alternatively, I think once the smoke clears in the police district a bit and they know what they're doing, it may even be that this position, that they might even have an interest, and I hope they do, in having some long-term financial planning, in as much as they've disbanded their finance committee. And it's just good to have a second opinion, and maybe one person could actually help both districts. That's just speculation, but it's maybe a good reason to postpone for a little bit. That's all. Thank you.
Can I just make a point of personal privilege? We've got a lot of background noise again, like we had at our last meeting. Somebody has a radio or something else going on that's very distracting and makes it difficult to
hear. I think there's feedback because a speaker is feeding back into somebody's microphone on their laptop. So it's just best to mute when you're not talking, and that's really good for everybody.
Yeah, I don't hear anything. I don't hear any radio for sure. Phil, you're muted.
Thank you. I was just saying how I had muted myself to make sure it wasn't me, but then I muted Don and it seemed to go away. So Don, you're currently muted, and if you'll need to unmute yourself, but I think that was the source.
Okay, Julie, did you raise your hand?
I did, Larry. I just wanted to make a comment, essentially validating the notion of postponing this, because I think it is important that we have a strategic planning session. I think if we brought a financial planner in now, if you consider your own personal life, if you hire a financial planner, the first thing they're going to ask you is, what are your goals? And if our district hasn't, you know, do you want to pay off your mortgage? Do you want to travel for the rest of your life? So without our district really having a strategic plan, you know, we haven't gotten into sirens and public address systems, which will be expensive, and we haven't discussed whether that's a priority or not. There's kind of a lot out there in addition to the public safety building. So it seems to me that a position like this would be most effective when we had a good sense of direction of what kind of major capital projects would the district like to undertake that really would require some analysis of how to best manage our finances, including if it ever came down to building a new building, what kind of debt service could we afford versus you know, the idea of having to go to the taxpayers for a bond. When our thinking is more evolved, I think we might be ready for this.
Yeah, I agree with Julie that we really need a strategic plan before we can come up with a financial plan. And in fact, at the last CSDA workshop I went to, which was best practices for board members, thank you, Janice, for recommending that. That was the importance of a strategic plan was underscored several times. So I think that is something that this board should work on either at a special session or in upcoming board meetings. So we have come up with a set of goals and objectives at that one special meeting that we had that was MC'd, but we did not have a strategic plan that goes with that. And I know Bill has been working on one, and I think we need to, we have an awful lot of ideas now. And if we had a lot of money in the bank, we could go for them all. But what we need now is a strategic plan that prioritizes. So, I think without a strategic plan, I agree that it's very difficult to come up with a financial plan. And if you're not working on a financial plan, you don't need a financial planner. So I'm also in favor of the idea of postponing this for a while.
I am too. I would like to respond, though, that I think that it's a chicken and egg problem. You don't do one and then do the other. A good financial planner will help you to draw out your goals and tell you the kinds of things you can afford. A lot of our discussions from some board members stop at, we can't afford this, without any discussion of what we can afford, because we haven't done any discussion or looking into how money can be used and financed. And I say it all the time, but money's not going to be any cheaper to borrow than it is now for a long time. we make more money on our investments, as little as that is, than it costs us to borrow money right now. And the kinds of things that we can do, given the sort of income that we have each year, is exactly what a financial planner can sit down and say, well, you could afford these goals, but not these goals. So before you prioritize them, you know, this is what you're looking at. So I don't agree that it's a one thing, then a second thing. I think that you do this all together so that you see what you have, and then you see what you want, and then you see what you can do.
I think we have to resolve the public safety building issue before we're ready for a financial plan.
I don't think so, Janice, because there's a fixed cost there, and you know, and we know what we can do, but we've just discussed, you know, a grant writer here. I mean, we do know from discussions with experts that there is a lot of money out there that can be funding an awful lot of that project without looking into this and seeing what these possibilities are and seeing what we can afford to borrow. You know, we've got a ceiling on the public safety spending, don't we? I mean, we can't spend more than the state allows.
That's only if we renovate in the existing footprint, which seems to be looking somewhat bleak, depending on who you listen to.
Well, anyway, I'm in favor of postponing.
Okay, I think I don't think we need a motion. The action is to not take any action. So with that, I think, well, we do have one comment from Lynn Du. Lynne?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, this is driving me crazy, this background noise.
Yes, it's awful.
To the point where I'm gonna stop listening to this meeting if you guys don't somehow figure out how to stop it, because it's really, really aggravating.
Larry, could you check your if you want to mute, let's see if we still get it.
Sure.
Well, I think we need some talking to be able to verify if there's, I'm not hearing it now. So sorry, Larry.
Okay, you hearing it now?
Not at the moment, but there's not, I think there's a delay now. Yeah, now it's back.
Well, this room is absolutely silent. There is no noise generation in this room. So I don't know I don't know what's going on here.
It's not background noise, Larry. I believe it's feedback from somebody's speakers on their computer back into the microphone on their computer somehow. And so I just think that for everybody's sake, if you're not talking, you should always mute. I think Lynn is correct.
If you mute Larry and then use the space bar just when you talk to unmute, I think that might be the best.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll stay muted unless I'm talking. However, if I'm going to run the meeting, I'm afraid I do have to talk.
I don't see any other hands raised at the moment for any other comment.
The next order of business is the fire chief's report, item number 5. So, Chief Pagoni.
Thank you. Good evening. I believe everybody's probably had a chance to read the run report for last month. Being the fact it was a short month, it was calls were down. Also, we did not have any storm events. So our downed trees or downed limbs and downed wires were down. So ended up, I believe it's 26 calls that were in Kensington and Engine 65 running to a total of about 48 calls. As far as potential excitement within the community, on February 17th, we did get dispatched to a, it came in as a structure fire on Colgate Avenue. The initial report was that the fire was on a back deck adjacent to the house. When the engine arrived, the homeowner was outside with a garden hose, and make a long story short, they had cleaned out ashes from their fireplace and had put them in a bag thinking they were cool. This was obviously not the case. As I'm sure many of you know, ashes, whether they be out of your barbecue pit or fireplace, even a couple days later can still have some hot embers, you know, buried deep inside. So good thing was the damage was simply just some scorched deck boards. Obviously it could have been much worse, you know, but it turned out not to be, you know, it turned out to be a fairly minor fire. But once again, it did prove how our auto aid works very well. We had an engine out of Berkeley, truck and an engine, and a battalion chief out of Richmond, as well as all of the El Cerrito Kensington resources on this call. Vegetation management, I know it probably sounds a little foolish to talk about it right now since we're getting a little bit of rain currently, but in the big picture of it, you know, according to the local TV stations, we've had less than 10 inches this year. And the future, despite what's going on right now, you know, does not look like we're going to have, it's going to be another dry year. Let's just put it that way. Short of any gains that have happened the last couple of days, the fuel moistures in the hills are very low. Some of the annual grasses out there, you know, while they're still green, they are starting to turn a little bit in places where the wind's hitting them. But if, you know, if we go another 2 or 3 weeks with some light breezes and no more rain, the annual grasses are going to dry out fairly quickly. So what it's leading up to is today we mailed out a number of courtesy letters, I'd like to call them. We've gone back to the residents, both in Kensington and El Cerrito, the people that we have to deal with, that basically we have had, that we've had issues, I don't know if that's the right word, but people that we've had to talk to more than once over, you know, repeatedly over the last 3 years, we'll call them the, you know, our frequent flyers. We sent them a nice letter, you know, just saying that, you know, we don't have a complaint, we're not getting ready to do any forced abatement, but it's just a courtesy, you know, now's the time to go out there and look at your yards, you know, think about defensive spaces. You know, typically people, you know, they don't worry about this to June or July because they think, well, it's not fire season. You know, the message that we're starting this year to get out there, aside from the annual grasses that, you know, you'll go out and mow or weed whack, the rest of what's involved in vegetation management is really a year round, process. You know, trimming up trees, trimming up your bushes, you know, working on defensible space around your house. It's not climate related. I mean, you know, it can be raining. You know, what we find a lot outside of grass is a brush that, you know, it takes years to grow. It's not something that just grew during the winter. So we're trying to get the message out there to everybody, you know, while it's cool, while it's, you know, not busy, while the fire danger is fairly low, we want people to get out there and start working on their yards. You know, yes, you don't need to mow. I mean, you know, you don't need to go out and weed whack your hillside because it's just going to regrow again. But that's easy to do. You know, look at the big stuff. That's what we're asking people to do. So that's the message we got out. We are going to be providing Bill an article to put into the next fire plug that's going to be talking about this to get the message out there. And I would ask everybody, you know, that's listening tonight, you know, please spread the word out there to all of your friends and family and contacts that are out there. So. Engines or the old engine, the old Type 3 engine. I talked last month that, you know, we were waiting for proposals to come in. We ended up with the highest proposal that we got was $75,500. Keep in mind, we sold the last engine for $30,000, which was a bigger, more expensive engine. So personally, I think we did fairly well here. It went to the Cordelia Fire District, which is in Solano County, so our neighbors. It's kind of neat to see them get it because it's going to, you know, kind of still be close. It's something that could potentially still, we hope not, that it never has to come back to our area, but, it's something that'll still be kind of local area helping out with, any types of fires. Cordelia Fire District is also, they employ a lot of reserve firefighters, people getting out of the academy. And a number of our firefighters that we have working for us today actually got their start in the Cordelia Fire District. So kind of a neat connection there. They picked up the apparatus on February 26th. My understanding is they've got it lettered already and re-lettered and almost ready to go into service in their area. And of course, as I reported last month, the new 365 is in service. We're waiting for, we got one more order of some rescue equipment that needs to go on it, but I mean, that's not keeping it from being in service, just some of the back ordered stuff that hadn't showed up yet. But, and of course, I think I reported it last month, we're coming in probably going to be close to about $25,000 under budget from what was allotted to spend on this. So that's some good news also. We're continuing to help out with the COVID-19 vaccination clinics, those fire department supported clinics that are going on in both the West and the East counties are going to continue through the end of this month. From that point, there's a possibility that the county is going to look at bringing everything together and doing some super clinics. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but kind of like what they're doing at the Coliseum right now, they're looking at doing that at somewhere here in this county where they'll be able to do thousands of vaccinations a day. You know, they'll have like 40 people doing injections and, you know, just a massive process of trying to get people through it. So, we're happy to be able to do our part to, providing people to stick needles in people. When it's not, to help out with getting ahead of this curve with it. So on the report, there's a couple places. If you have not got your vaccines yet, there's a couple of websites. You can go to the one that's on the Contra Costa County Health, which is Get Vaccinated, or you can go to the state one, which is myturn.ca.gov, which is kind of a statewide one. If you have not gone in and tried to register to get your vaccinations so far. So outside of that, that's the end of the written report that you got. The only other thing that I will bring up, this was not in the written report because it's just some changes that have happened in the last week. This coming week, next Tuesday, the much anticipated state audit report on the city is coming out. I have, department heads have seen it. Legally, I am not allowed to talk about it. Although I do know while there are some suggestions, there's no major hits as far as the fire service is concerned in there, but I can't really tell you about a whole lot of this about what's in it, but I guarantee you when it does come out, and again, keep in mind, it's just an audit with some editorial. It's not going to be here's the silver bullet or here's the path to the end of the rainbow where the gold bucket is. It is an audit. And I don't know if there's any surprises in it, but again, I do know that the rumors, we've already heard a lot of those in the past month, the rumors and the thoughts and the assumptions are going to be flying wild out there, I am most certain. If you do see this and something just doesn't seem quite right, as opposed to, I would ask people if there's something that seems amuck as far as the fire service is concerned, please contact me. Once this is out, I have no problem discussing it. But I can tell you right now, business as usual. It will be, we're not shutting down no station. We're not, we're not getting rid of anybody. We're not deleting any services. Mostly it's going to be, again, things we know, tightening budgets and, making sure that, we're getting the best bang for our buck out there. So, if you hear something outside of that, El Cerrito's not coming over to move everything into 65 and kick the PD out, all these things I've heard are not happening. We're not contracting with the county. Albany is not taking over. I can't even begin to tell you all the ones I've heard out there, but if you hear something that doesn't sound right, or sounds a little strange, please call me or email me. Once this report comes out, I will be more than happy to tell you, the truth of it. I am doing everything in my power. I am fighting, even prior to this coming out, doing everything to make sure that that Kensington is, maintains the great service that they're getting. And, and not being anything that you visually see happening out there that'll be changing for it. We'll still have all the people and all the stations and all the resources to respond where we need to respond. And with that, end of my report, and I'm more than happy to answer any questions for you.
Thank you, Chief. Are there any questions from board members? Janice.
Yeah, thank you. For a good report, Michael, and for all you do. And wow, didn't you do a good job on unloading that last engine? Just wanted to alert people that if they go to the My Volunteer California website, if you volunteer for 4 hours at a vaccination, they give you a vaccine at the end of volunteer commitment. Even if you're not in one of the eligible groups that are currently being vaccinated. So check on that website if you're not eligible for a vaccine. When I got my second dose a week ago, they had a bunch of Salesforce people were volunteering and checking people in, putting out the needles to the RNs.
Great, thank you, Janice. Kevin?
Chief, I think I know the answer to this, but are you legally required to sell the engine to the entity that comes in with the highest bid?
That's a good question. I believe we could probably sell it anywhere. I mean, my understanding, at least this is the way it works with city government, and I don't see district being anywhere different. This was bought with taxpayer money. My understanding is we need to, do what we can to get the best price, in other words, get the best return that we can on it. That's probably a question for legal. But in my mind, again, it's taxpayer money. We want to get back as much as we can for it. I'll be honest with you, to me, it's worth a lot more, low mileage. I mean, it's a beautiful rig, but, the used fire truck market, and the fact that it's grandfathered in as far as clean burning, but, 2004, it doesn't have the clean idle sticker on the side of it. So it's not meeting current emissions, even though it's perfectly fine for us to use it, and it's perfectly fine for another government entity to use it.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you, Chief, for the report. That brings us to agenda item number 6, which is the general manager's report. Bill.
Thank you. February was very busy and productive. I believe I continue to appreciate Chief Pagoni's help and Sasha's assistance as well. I'll highlight, there are a number of items on here. I'll just highlight the most important, significant ones for the public to be aware of. The first one is the joint meeting is being planned for March 25th. It's a Thursday, March 25th at 7 p.m. We, since the February 10th meeting, I met twice with GM Marty Brown and former interim general manager Bill Lindsay to discuss how to best facilitate that meeting and to try to develop the agenda. We wanted to wait until Marty had a chance to develop her presentation for tomorrow night's KPP-CSD meeting. That presentation is already online. And frankly, I think it is nice to see the new general manager wrapping her arms around as quickly as possible around the history of the issue and what she feels like she needs for her department. So at least in terms of recommendations. And we will be meeting Marty and Bill and I again at the end of the week and probably a couple more times before we actually have the agenda to post, but we will probably just want to keep reminding people of that February 25th meeting. I did, since our February 10th meeting, I did speak with Mallory Kusenberry, the architect with RDC. I previously had not had contact with him before, so I wanted to let him know where things stood. We're currently not, we don't have any active contract at the moment. And the discussion about whether RDC or Mac5 or what other consultants might be either available or active participants in the 25th meeting is something we're still trying to figure out so we can get the most out of that meeting. I did include in the as an attachment to my report just an updated budget that assumed the or at least included the items that you've already approved, so you can see that. That's the budget for the remainder of this year. I did spend a lot of time with Mays further transitioning from the prior employee that they had, Robert, working to the current Nin is working with us now out of Mays, and she is at a lower hourly rate, which is obviously helpful for us, you know, moving forward, but there was a little bit of retraining. So I hope that that will smooth out in terms of the amount of money required, you know, keeping a kind of close eye on that line item for accounting. We will be developing the, we will at the April 14th meeting be presenting the audit of fiscal year 19-20. We'll preview that in the Finance Committee meeting, which is planned for April 2nd. At 10 a.m., but we'll of course notice that's a regular standing committee meeting, so you'll see a notice and packet prior to that. We'll also probably take one quick stab at the, you know, just laying out the agenda, I'm sorry, the budget for next year, even though we won't have the information we need from El Cerrito until a little bit later, but it's good to get an early start on that. I did submit a local hazard mitigation planning letter, and that is so to join others in the county in applying for Cal OES and funding from FEMA for a planning grant to fund the hazard mitigation plan. And a few other things on here just of financial interest that I included. But the only other main thing would be the next issue of the fire plug, which as Chief said, we're gonna have material you know, from his department on that, but we'll also be including some, I thought it would best to you know, wait until after this public meeting so that we can include a summary of that and where the direction of that meeting's going. And just a reminder that your Form 700 filings are due by April 1st.
Fantastic, Bill. Thank you very much. We have questions from the any board members. Kevin.
Yes, thanks, Bill. I wanted to just ascertain that the members of the public who are on the Emergency Preparedness Committee, I think they do have to file 700 forms as well. At least we did last year.
Thanks. I'll send that notice out again too. But I think that was confirmed in our policy.
Okay, just so they know about it. Thank you.
Thanks for the reminder,
Kevin. I think once you get on their list, they send you a reminder. So everybody on the Emergency Preparedness Committee, since they have submitted a Form 700, should have already received a reminder about that, but we can check on that the next EPC meeting.
Yeah, Larry, I agree with what you just said. I remember Mary Morris Mayorga telling us that she went through the specific process of registering all of their names with the county. So they should be getting the same auto emails that we're getting.
Correct. Plus, they've already submitted one Form 700. So once you're on their list, you don't get off their list.
Well, we think they have. I haven't confirmed that, but maybe that record is.
Well, I will definitely. I'll check on it, and Sasha. Maybe we can. We're collecting sort of updates. Sasha's already done some of that work in terms of also the other trainings. So we have all of the board member trainings and et cetera. So we can add that to the list, Sasha.
On the subject of training, Bill, I think probably a couple of us are up for a renewal of our ethics training. Is that clocked to the date that we took it the last time, or is there a specific calendar date like there is for the 700 form?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I'm sorry, I had intended to actually have that information to you, the specific dates when it's due. So I'll follow up on that this week.
Could I ask a question about the joint board meeting coming up in 2 weeks? So it looks like you're still fleshing out the agenda. I do run into residents when I'm out walking my dogs and they're walking theirs. And a lot of people don't know about this, people who don't follow us that closely, but they're very interested in it. So I have been getting questions about, some people noticed it in the Outlook, which, fortunately Linnea estimated when she thought it was going to happen and she put something in there. But are you planning any kind of public outreach or public announcement more than the minimum required? Because I think absolutely. The minimum is like 24 hours, right? But
yeah. I and thank you. I had wanted to do like a joint press release, and press release being in the broader sense of being able to also have postings. We certainly want to get it, get this out as soon as possible. And I guess the thought was to try to include, as much of the agenda as possible, but frankly, I agree that it would be best to just get the notice out in general. So I'll talk to Marty about, distributing that and, posting it as well physically. And any other advice that you have in terms of, we'll list it on the website, et cetera, et cetera.
You can also book that big notice board right by the Exxon station in the middle of the road there. You can book that and announce it there.
Thanks.
I think it's going to be tricky because sometimes these meetings, there's an expectation by the public that it's going to be sort of a blend between a board meeting and more of a town hall thing where the public gets to ask their questions. So one of the questions that I received from a resident the other day was whether any sort of residents' input is going to be solicited in advance of the meeting. And I know that can be hard to do, but I just wanted to make you aware that I got that question.
Yeah, thank you. And you know, I appreciate Bill Lindsay's experience in larger context of meetings like this and joint meetings. And it's something that we already have discussed and trying to figure out the best way to do it where we can, you know, also, you know, make sure we can get through the meeting. So, but I will say that I will invite, you know, any comments from this moment forward, you know, or questions, you know, in advance of that meeting, as we are considering, you know, judging the interest or particular details that things or people are looking for, it certainly would be perfectly fine for, you know, residents to shoot me an email with a question or a list of questions or what they, you know, would like to see. It's all that information is helpful.
Okay, I see David Spath has his hand raised, so if we could let him speak.
Thanks, Larry. Just going back to the Form 700, the EPC members did not file a Form 700 last year. We were advised that I think we didn't have to, or it came late and we had to, and so we were just told not this year. And I think it's important to let all the members who don't normally file a Form 700, I do, that they need to do it because I think it'll come as a surprise to them. I'm sure they haven't even thought about it. And if we have been registered with the county to get a notice, that hasn't come yet.
Thanks, good to know that.
And we also have Daniel Madugo would like to make a comment.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, Daniel.
I think I came in late in the game last year, so I have no idea what this Form 700 is, and nor have I received an email. So thanks. I'd appreciate information. Thanks.
We'll be sure to get that to you, Danielle. Yes, Danielle was not a part of the initial crop of EPC members. She came in about 6 months afterwards. So she would not have probably filed this Form 700. And it sounds like nobody else did either.
Yeah, that's what I was concerned about. And Danielle and everybody else, it's a really easy thing. It's a financial disclosure form. You do it electronically, it takes you 5 minutes.
Okay, I think we've finished with the general manager's report. Bill, unless you have anything else.
No, thank you. You know, and I'm just impressed that Sasha is so devoted to the district that she was willing to paint the logo on the back of her office there. So very committed.
Listen, I think a tattoo is next. What are we going to do? Maybe we all have to do.
Okay, moving right along in the committee reports. The first cut is the Emergency Preparedness Committee. Item number one is the EPC meeting minutes, which have been approved. And I get there's no action needed on that, right? So The other one is a verbal update on the EPC meeting of February 25th. If you want to take that, Kevin. You're muted.
Yeah, thank you, Larry. I was just looking for my meeting notes. We had a lot of discussions about the items that are on the agenda tonight and other things that aren't, but we didn't make any recommendations to the board. We didn't make any. We have just good continuing discussions about things. And the only thing I'd mention is that we are a resident who brought up the idea of the need for evacuation signs at Sunset and Arlington, and so we've talked with. The police about this, who I know always keep talking with our fire department, about that, and Mabry raised the question at our meeting about whether the signs on the Sunset Cemetery gate were clear enough. People might get confused on them. So Officer Harms said that he would look into that and you know, try to do what is commensurate with good policies and practices as he understands them, has seen them elsewhere. And so that's really, I think, the main thing that we are looking at next.
Great, thanks, Kevin. Next on the docket is report by the Finance Committee.
Oh, sorry, Larry, I was just, I was muted, but I wanted to just give you one quick comment on emergency preparedness.
Sure, go ahead.
Oh, I think it's a good idea that you have the phone numbers on some kind of a sticker for a cell phone cover. I mean, in addition to all of us adding the numbers to our speed dial, I was actually out walking about 2 months ago and I saw flames in the Kensington Park. And I realized I was at a loss as to what the direct dial number was, but obviously I had my cell phone with me and I, you know, I was able to deal with it, but I think that is a good idea that you have to find develop some kind of sticker that goes directly on people's cell phones, because most of us sleep with our cell phones next to our beds probably. And it makes a lot of sense to me personally.
I'd like to say, thanks, Julie. Chris Hilliard proposed this at our previous meeting. And so we've been looking into it. And one thing that's really surprising is we mail an envelope to each household, and most households are going to have two people in it. Well, a magnet might cost us 8 cents if it's small enough. The lowest price I can find for a sticker is about 15 cents each. And so we'd have to put in two stickers, at least for two different phones. And so that would kind of quadruple the basic cost of the project. I think once we get a sense of mailing costs, maybe we can revisit this. And I'm, you know, drastically looking for a better source for this, but our, you know, we're trying to get people to enter these numbers into their phones as soon as they get it, and there will be a page of information or a half page, we hope, that will be included as well. So, you know, there's a bunch of sources there, and we'll do what we can. But thanks for reminding.
Okay, thank you. I think, is that any more questions or comments on the Emergency Preparedness Committee? In which case, we'll go to the Finance Committee. The first item, the update on county council charges. I'm not sure, is that you, Janice, or is that you, Bill?
Janice, just put this in there in case you wanted to comment.
Yeah, it's not the county council, it's Myers-Navé.
I'm sorry. That's an old habit of mine. Sorry. My apologies. Myers-Navé.
Yeah. It's Myers-Navé. And we met with Bacher, and he in fact reduced the charges by the amount that we considered unauthorized and inappropriate. And it turns out that the lion's share of that month's charges were about $6,000 responding to residents' public Act request. So that I have to say about from the Finance Committee.
Committee meet in a public meeting to handle that, or how did? Because you're a standing committee, and you're
no. It was a call with the no. It was a call with council.
But it was the Finance Committee that met.
It was Larry and Janice.
Aren't there all their meetings supposed to be public?
Not if they have a phone call with council.
It's not a public meeting.
That's not a meeting.
Wouldn't it be like a closed session meeting?
I would have hoped that council would have notified us if that was the condition. You know, I would only ask council about what his actions were, but.
Yeah.
Okay, the other item is one for Julie and Don, Director Stein and Delmer. That is, you need to, the two of you need to approve the December 4th, 2020 special meeting of the Finance Committee. You need to approve the minutes of that. And I guess we can do that inside a regular meeting, Bill.
Yes, we tried to do it last month and it was revised. So, and I hope we still have Don. Don, you're muted. If you, we will need you to unmute and vote when we get to that point.
So I get, you know, Bill sent, sent these to me for my comment. And, you know, I responded that I thought they were more than sufficient. I had only been hoping to have some context added about the fact that, my short answer is I'm fine with these minutes. There was more work done on them than I anticipated. And of course, it's very well appreciated, but I'm fine with the revision.
I still don't see Don's able to talk here, so we might have to bring this back again.
Can you unmute him yourself?
I can ask to unmute, which I just did.
Do we need a motion for this, Bill, or?
Well, we need Julie and Don to be the ones voting on it, so, because they were the present directors, so.
Maybe we come back to it?
We can certainly come back to it again.
Hope he's still there. Just a minute, huh?
I guess we're almost done, but we can try to come back to it.
Let me try to call him while you're trying to.
Okay, well, I can tell you the next thing on the item is reports on outside agencies. And my name is first on the list here. For the Contra Costa Special Districts Association. I reported on the January meeting in our February board meeting, and the next meeting is March 15th. And the guest speaker for that will be the director of the Contra Costa Airports Special District, if anyone's interested. So I'll be reporting on that at the next board meeting. Have nothing else to report on Contra Costa Special District Association. Looks like we've got Don. Don is unmuted, but I can't hear him, and Bill is.
I can hear you.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, it was muted for some reason, but I turned it off. It's crazy when you don't know that you can hear, you know, I feel like I'm talking into the wind. There's nobody there to hear me, but
we can hear you now.
It's been just fine the last bit. It's just that first part when we got screwed up with getting going. So
Don, the issue here is that you and Julie need to approve the minutes of the December 4th, 2020 special meeting of the Finance Committee.
Yeah, no, I could hear that. I heard you talking, I heard that.
Oh, great, okay, so all we need is for you to say that you approve.
I approve.
Thank you very much. We move on to Director Cosell and the State Professional.
Let me get an official vote or motion from Director Stein as well.
Well, I said I approve.
Okay, just wanted to make sure, okay. All right, motion passes.
Wonderful, okay. And then the last thing on the agenda.
Kevin's got his hand up.
I just had a quick question, Larry. If it's not completely out of order, could, and since a question was raised about it, could you summarize what you've learned about the Diablo Fire Safe Council, because that's important to a lot of us.
It's not on the agenda, I suppose.
Yeah, we should have put the emergency preparedness committee report. I'm sorry, that was my fault. Anyway,
I think it would be better to not just to go by what's on the agenda than to.
I will plan on having a report on the Diablo Fire Safe Council meeting at the next board meeting. So we'll put that on the agenda for the next board meeting.
Thanks, Larry.
And then it'll be all together. So Janice, would you like to report? Do you have anything to report on the professional development and membership services committees?
No, we haven't met since the last meeting.
I think that's the end of it. I see no more public comments, no hands raised. So I believe we're adjourned.
Thank you.
Hour 30.
8:36.
Wow.
Very impressive.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Everybody have a great night.
Thanks, everybody. We got a lot done and we finished early. That's